Grace to you and peace from God who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. One of the things that has long bugged me about Scripture is that we really don't get what the people are thinking. You know, like you read a novel, you read a book of fiction, you oftentimes get, oh, you know, so-and-so was tired, or speaking in a kind voice, or they said something sarcastically. That would be so helpful, especially in our gospel lesson, our first story this morning of Jesus' encounter with this Gentile woman. Now, a quick little bit of historical background. In our lesson calls her a Gentile of Syro-Phoenician origin. So I'm sure that there are many of you who know exactly what that means, but for the couple who need that bit explained out to them. So it means that she is ethnically a Phoenician. She is culturally a Greek, but she's a Phoenician who lives in the Syrian part of the Phoenician Empire, which that is directly north of Israel along the Mediterranean coast, as opposed to the large Phoenician settlement over in North Africa. The Phoenicians and the Israelites don't necessarily get along all that well. I know, big surprise there. Part of the reason is Phoenicia is a wealthier country. They have a higher standard of living, and they have a long-standing tradition of raiding the border towns there in Israel and taking all of the food. You know, the fact that the Phoenicians were pagans, worshiping their own gods and not the Lord God of Israel, well, that was just icing on the cake as far as the Israelites were concerned. Now, our story is taking place near the town of Tyre. That's a Phoenician coastal city there on the Mediterranean, maybe 40-ish kilometers north and west from where Jesus was just in the previous chapter. Somehow or other, word of who Jesus is and of what he is capable has reached out even all the way up there in the coast. Specifically, it's reached the ears of this woman who approaches Jesus and asks him to cure her daughter. Now, there's a whole lot of stuff going on in that encounter. I'm just going to point out, to me, the two major ones. First of all, this is a woman approaching a male in public, a male to whom she is not related. So anybody observing this event is pretty much going to assume that she is a working woman, a woman of the evening. Also, she is a Gentile approaching a person of Jewish faith. Neither of those are grounds for a good conversation. We also need to remember, Jesus has been working hard. In just the previous chapter, John the Baptizer is beheaded. Jesus feeds the 5,000. Then he walks across the Sea of Galilee in order to get some alone time. And while he thinks he's going to get that, it turns out when he gets to the other side, he's accosted by a whole bunch of Pharisees who want to nitpick with him about the dietary laws. The guy is tired. He's probably grumpy. I know I would be. And he's purposefully headed to an area where he thinks that he's not going to be pestered. But of course, he's spotted, he's found out. And we get this exchange then that has always really kind of bothered me. Now, let me tell you first something that happened to me recently. A couple of weeks ago, I met with Stephanie Maurer. Stephanie is our communications director here at Trinity. She's a wonderful woman. I think she's great at her job. I walked into her office. I don't even remember what it was that I had to talk to her about. But I walked into her office late in the afternoon. I know it was a Tuesday because we had staff meeting that morning. And so both of us were kind of tired and grumpy. But we were talking about whatever it was that I thought was important enough for us to have to talk about. And while we were talking, she remembered something else that she wanted to talk to me about. And so she says, oh, wait, let me show you this. And so she picks up her phone and she starts to scroll through her phone to find whatever it was that she wanted to show me. Now, I've been trying to tell y'all for a long time that I'm really not a nice guy. I am snarky, and I am sarcastic, and I am way too cynical. So And I know this doesn't happen to most of you, but sometimes my mouth engages before my brain kicks in. So when Stephanie said, oh, wait, let me show you this, and she's flipping through her phone, before I really thought about anything and to show you what kind of a jerk that I am, I simply responded, wait, let me put on my interested face. Now, I tell you all that in part because I think that's kind of how Jesus responded here. That's how this story makes sense to me. All Jesus wanted was some peace and quiet. And this woman, who wasn't even one of his own, comes up and starts to pester him about her daughter. Was he snarky in his response? Was he sarcastic when he said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs? Now, I've heard all kinds of explanations about this over the years, that Jesus was testing her faith, that he responded theologically. But, you know, lately, I got to tell you, I think the guy just snapped. You know, from her point of view, this woman has opened herself up. She has made herself vulnerable, pleading for her daughter's life. She comes to this Jewish guy and literally begs him to heal her little girl. And Jesus gives her this snark. Now, I think this woman is amazing because apparently, without even skipping a beat, she fires right back, sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. He called her a dog, and she still responds on behalf of her daughter. Was Jesus embarrassed? Was he ashamed, cajoled that he heals this little girl without touching her, without even, so far as the text says, without even seeing her? We don't know. Now we contrast that encounter with the one that follows immediately thereafter. And again, we have to put things really quickly into context. It says that Jesus and company traveled back to the region of the Sea of Galilee. So that's a southeasterly journey. It's at least a day's long walk. But once they get there, a deaf, nearly mute man, whom we assume is Jewish, because of the area that they are in and because our text doesn't tell us otherwise, as it usually does if the person is not Jewish, this man is brought to him. So there's all kinds of differences already, right? We've got woman, man. We've got comes on her own, is brought to him. We've got Gentile and Jewish. This man is cut off. He's closed off to those around him due to the difficulty in communication and with being understood. And in further contrast between these two stories, with the fellow, Jesus physically touches his ears and he places his fingers on the man's tongue. And then he speaks words to heal him. There's no witty repartee this time. There's no ethnic or gender slurs. Jesus simply says, and it's so important that Mark records it twice. Jesus says first in Aramaic, Ephatha, which and then in Greek is diakonisai, both of which mean literally to open or a bit figuratively to gain insight or understanding. What a contrast between those two episodes. Going by my interpretation, in the first encounter with the Gentile woman, Jesus needs to be prodded, encouraged even, to do the right thing, the moral thing. And in the second encounter with a presumably Jewish male, Jesus jumps right in and heals the fellow. What is it in your own life? How do you need to be opened up to God? Because all of us need that. In each and every one of us, there are those parts that we shut off. We shut those parts off to God, to others, to ourselves even. Now, sometimes maybe that's a good thing. When we strive to not listen, you know, to those little voices, those impulses that strive to make us do the things that we know are not positive, the things that we know are going to hurt others, that push us to say things like, let me put on my interested face. But too often we allow ourselves to be open to the negative impulses. And we shut ourselves off to those positive parts, the parts that urge us to go and talk to that coworker who looks really stressed, or to help that stranger in Giant reach something off the top shelf. God calls us to be open. Christ calls to us to open ourselves not only to hear God's calling, but to act on what it is that God wants us to do. Ethnic heritage, economic background, spiritual strength, none of those are important in sharing God's message of love and grace and strength and forgiveness. What does matter is how we respond when God does open our hearts and calls us into service. Amen.